meet you where you're at, okay? So on that, I've got a couple of, we're going to bring a couple people up here and to talk about the retreat. Miss Lisa Wilman, you head up this way. Miss Lisa's been on this team for a long time. She is my gauge for how good things are. If Lisa doesn't cry, it means I missed the mark. It means I didn't do something right. This lady is, she is on our leadership team. She is a praying machine. Listen, this is no joke. When you turn in a prayer request, they don't just get put in a box. They get prayed for by this team, but this lady, that is what she does. She is our prayer warrior for this team. We believe in her. She believes in this process, and she's going to talk to y'all just a little bit about the retreat.
Thank you. Hello. How are y'all? So this is probably the fourth time I've done this, and Justin reminded me the very first time I had to give my testimony, I am a very behind-the-scenes person. I don't like to be in front of y'all, so right now this is freaking me out real bad. Okay, first of all, I'm going to debunk every reason that you're going to give us why you can't go to the retreat. Okay, ready? Who in this room hunts? Raise your hands. Do you hunt? Do you fish? Fishing counts too. Okay, so if you can spend that money on the credit card for stuff to hunt and fish, you can put on that credit card an investment in yourself to be a better man of God, to be a better husband, to be a better father. Okay, girls, I'm not done. Who likes to shop? How many of us get our nails done? How many of us go and get spray tan sometimes when you're feeling super pasty? Justin does. Okay, same thing I said to the guys. If we're willing to do that, nails only last 2 weeks. This investment will last your whole life. This is going to carry you on and make you a better mom and a better woman of God. It's going to empower you because the world we live in stinks and it's hard and it's getting harder every day. And I promise you, I told somebody today, if you've been alive, you need to go through Encounter because life and things that happen, and things that happened in your past, and things that happened yesterday, and things that are going to happen next week can drastically change because of practical things that you learn in this class and things you take away from this class and the relationships you make in this class. When Justin says the people at your table at the end of this, and especially at the end of the retreat, become your family, we're not just blowing smoke. We're not just saying that. That's true. We are. This is a family. And these people will love you and care for you. And I can't, when we say trust the process, just trust the process. It's so good. And I promise you, it's worth every week that you show up. It's worth every week that you push through. And there is nothing better than that retreat. So that's all I got.
All right. She said something that you'll become family, and I'm fixing to give you living proof. Bubba, come up. This is Bubba Bonner. I met Bubba as the part of the original team of this, and he's not one of my best friends anymore. This is my brother. And when I say that with a sincere heart. I mean, this dude's been through some stuff, and I can tell you, I refuse to do life without him. I love him dearly, and I can tell you, this class was a connection point to one of the greatest friendships I'll ever have. And so it really works.
That $20 I gave him goes a long way, doesn't it? This is amazing to see this. The first class that we started that ever happened was in the annex. There was 18 people. Had no idea what it was going to do, never heard of this, where it was going to go. But since then, hundreds of lives have been changed. We've seen it. If you're a team member and you're a part of Encounter, you have a front row seat to see what God can do and will do. There's only one word there that you have to remember as a participant, and that's the word obedience. I'm going to tell you a little story that happened about a year and a half ago. One Sunday morning, we had a Filipino nurse from Florida. And she came up to me on a Sunday morning, little bitty lady, and she said, Mr. Bubba, I don't know why she called me that, we're about the same age. But she said, Mr. Bubba, the Lord told me to tell you this. I've been saving money to go see my family, and I'm going to use it to pay to go to the Encounter retreat. I said, wait. You have not seen your family, two daughters and a husband, in 6 months, and you're going to take that money that you're saving and pay to go to the retreat? Yes, God said he would bless me. I said, wow. That evening, I did the orator part. And before it started, I got her off to the side and I asked her two times again. I said, now, let me get this straight. You're saving money to go see your family you haven't seen in 6 months, but you're going to use it to go to the retreat instead. Yes. The Lord said for me to be obedient and he would bless me. Dang. That night, I came up, and before we went to break, I said, hey, I need to do something real quick. And I called her up without her even knowing it because I didn't want her to leave. And so she came up, and she's standing there, and I told the story. Where's Karen? Karen, where's Karen Green? Karen, she was at your table, right? You remember this? And I told the story of what she was doing. The whole auditorium where we were, man, they were so touched. It was a blessing. It was for them to hear that here's someone sacrificing seeing their family because they were being obedient to the Lord. You know, you can go home tonight and burn your house down and say you sacrificed it to the Lord, and guess what? You ain't got no place to live. He's not interested in your sacrifice. He's interested in your obedience. There's some of us in here tonight that our obedience is way above or way below where it should be. We're thinking we're sacrificing to the Lord for us just being here. Just us being here is enough. And that's not true. He wants to bless you beyond belief. And let me go on with the story. Everybody applauded. Oh, my God, that's so great. We had break time. We didn't get break going, and a couple came up and said, hey, has she already paid her way? I said, yes, she has. Give her money back. Give her money back. We want her to take that money and continue to save it. That's something, isn't it? See, she was being obedient. She didn't care. She had no idea anything was going to happen. She's being obedient. Obedient. And man, I said, well, thank you so much. We'll take care of that. It wasn't but just a second later, a gentleman came walking up. He said, hey, I get all kind of free miles. I'm going to fly her to Florida. Won't cost her a penny. That's obedience. The Lord isn't giving us stuff because we've earned it, because we deserve it, because of who we are. It's because of who we are. Do you understand that? He lets us have things because he is our pawpaw. He's going to make sure Sonny Boy gets what he needs. You know what I'm saying? That grandfather that makes sure he loves you. He gives you those things. You don't deserve them, but you get them because he loves you. And he loved her. And here's the beautiful thing about it. Because of her obedience, there were people, the couple that paid their way, see, they had to be obedient. They heard the voice of the Lord, and they said, I want to help her. They received a blessing. Had she not been obedient, they would have not gotten the blessing that the Lord had for them. The gentleman that flew her to Florida, he would have never gotten anything had it not been for her obedience. You understand that? Unfortunately, there's some of us sitting here tonight that's not really on our radar. It's not. We think we're doing God a favor by just being here. Maybe we don't totally understand why we're here. And that's okay. That's okay, but I'm telling you right now that God wants to bless each and every one of us in here. But don't let the devil steal it. Don't let the devil steal it. Allow God to give you what you deserve. Don't listen anymore to what Satan says. It's a lie. It's a half-truth. It's not who you are. It's not what people have said you are. It's not. Encounter Retreat is going to help you push on over the hill. This is preparing you for that. And the retreat is going to help you get to the top as long as you're obedient. And by obedient, you keep your mind open, your heart open, and your palms up. Now, I can assure you, when you do that, buddy, he's going to pour it on you. He's going to pour it on you. Not because you didn't earn it, not because you deserve it, but because he wants to give it to you because that's who you are. Amen? 150 people in here would start out with 18. Hundreds of people have been affected. And I'll tell you something else. The leadership that you have here, this is my best friend. And I want to tell you something. Proverbs says, the wounds of a friend are sweeter than the kisses of an enemy. I want to tell you something. If he says something to you that hurts your feelings, if he takes that finger and pokes in your chest and says, Bubba, you know better than that. Do what you're supposed to be doing. He's not saying to be mean. He's saying because that's what God wants you to do. I'd much rather have a friend like this than one that just blows sunshine up your skirt all the time. Amen? There's plenty of them. Thank you guys for being here. You're not here by accident. Everybody in here is going to get changed. Well, not changed. There's no such thing. You're going to be transformed. See, you're already who you're supposed to be. You're just not there yet. This and the retreat is going to help you get there. Amen? Thank you for your time. You have a good evening.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all next Sunday. Now, hey, guys, I want to introduce my boss, a dear friend of mine. He is one of our executive pastors here. I get the privilege of working with him every single day. He's taught me so much. And he's coming to teach tonight on alignment, Pastor Stephen.
What's up, Encounter? You guys good? Look at this room. This is crazy. This is awesome. Just to see this many people here, we're so proud of you guys and excited for what God's doing in your life, what he's going to do. Some of you are still freaked out a little bit. You're like, man, what am I doing here? What is God going to do these next few weeks? But we are praying for you, and we're excited for you. I just want to say, you know, I love being at Timber Creek Church. I love being on the staff of this church. I've been at other churches and other staffs that have been incredible. But, man, this place is awesome. And it makes it even better when you get to work with really, really, really good friends. And Justin and Whitney Lindsay are some of my best friends now. I love them to death. And Whitney, poor Whitney, she puts up with me and Justin every day and keeps us straight, keeps us aligned. Look at her. Yeah, everybody pray for her. Extend a hand towards Whitney. No, but I just love those guys so much. And you know what? They are just some of the hardest working people I've ever met. Some of the hardest prayers I've ever met. Most so devoted to the Lord and what God's doing in their life and through them in ministry. And what's cool is there's an amazing team in this room that the residue of the Lord and the residue of the Lindsays is all over them too. And so that is super cool. And this team is amazing in the time and the work that they put in for you. Because why? Because they have to? No, because they believe in this process and their lives have been touched and changed because of it as well. And yours is going to be the same. So let's give it up for the Encounter team. These guys are awesome. Awesome. Well, let's jump right in, guys. We got a lot of stuff to cover, and I'm excited to hang out with you. I know Justin did an incredible job last week kicking this thing off with identity, right? That's what he talked about and taught on, and I just pray that God will continue to do the work that he's already started in your life. And tonight, we're going to talk about alignment. Everybody say alignment. Awesome. Now, when I say alignment, what do you guys start thinking about? The guys, what? Your car, right? I heard it over here. That was going to be one of the first things you think about is when you talk about the word of alignment, you start thinking about your vehicle, right? When you buy a new truck from Shane Sepulveda, I don't know where he's at, right there, and you drive it off that lot, everything's working great, everything's in alignment, and then you hit a big old pothole, and then all of a sudden that beautiful truck is starting to pull to the right. It's not driving correctly. Why? Because it's out of alignment. And we all probably know what that's like. And if you ignore the little misalignment for a while, what happens? It can end up later costing you the cost of brand new tires or other issues with the vehicle. When it gets misaligned and it gets out of alignment, it can cause some issues, cause some problems. And so that's one thing about alignment. How many of you have ever had a bad back? Man, in college, in Bible college, I worked at a furniture store for 4 years and did deliveries. Little old Stephen Courtney, man, was doing deliveries with these big old armoires and beds and stuff and bringing them to people's houses and stuff. And I still have knee problems and back problems. Sometimes we can have back issues and have to go see the doctor, have to go see a chiropractor and what? Align the back, right? And get things aligned again, get it back in proper alignment so we're not in what? In pain all the time. So, but we're not talking about your vehicle tonight. We're not talking about your physical body, your back. What we're going to be talking about tonight is proper biblical spiritual alignment, okay? And I'm excited about what God's going to do. Let's jump in by looking at this verse that's in your notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged." How many of you want that? To be whole, to be undamaged, right? God's beginning a process in us during this encounter that he's going to do that if you'll allow him to, right? To be pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose. What this verse is talking about is what you might have heard in church before, like sanctification, right? Becoming who God wants us to be. It goes on and it says, "And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can I pray for you guys as we get started tonight? Do me a favor, put your pen down and put your palms up like this. And I'm going to tell you a quote that I was told when I was a teenager that I have held on for years. And I just pray that this would be your heartbeat tonight and moving forward. "Give all that he asks and take all that he promises." It's a great quote. If you'll give him all that he asks in this process, then you get to do the cool thing, and that's take all that he promises, because he's got a lot for you guys. Amen? Let's pray. God, we do truly that. Our palms are up. God, we give all that you ask tonight and in the weeks to come. Some of it's going to be a little bit of work. Some of it might not be easy. Some of it we may not even realize that we were so blind to certain things, but God, now we're seeing it, and we give it to you, God. We give all that you ask, but God, we also take all that you promise. And God, your promises are true. Your promises are amazing. Your word is true. And God, I know that you're starting to do a work in all of us, and I pray that you continue it in the weeks to come. God, we give you tonight. Let our hearts and our minds be open to what you want to say and what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Let's jump in here, guys. In the next part of your notes, we just read this scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So basically, there are three parts of me and three parts of you that we read here. We were made by God, and we have three distinct parts. Can anybody tell me what they were? There you go. The spirit, the soul, and the body, right? If you look in your notes there, the first one, spirit. That spirit part of us is the part of us that is eternal, right? That's the first part. And that part should be first. That part should be on top. We're going to talk about that further tonight. The second one is the soul. The soul is what? It's your mind, your will, your emotions. It's even your feelings. Is there any feelers out here tonight? Whitney Lindsay will tell you that Stephen Courtney is like top of the list feeler. I am a feeler. Sometimes I hate it, but I can't help it. I walk into a meeting, walk into a room, and I can just feel whether it's good, bad, whatever. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing. I feel, right? I just did the Enneagram. Anybody ever done that before? You get a number 1 through 9. I'm a 2, so I'm a considerate helper. Everybody say, "Oh, he's a considerate helper." Isn't that nice? But then you turn a few pages and you get to this circle and it says feeler, and it's like three different things on the circle, and I'm like 100% like feeler, right? I am just a massive feeler, right? So the soul is the mind, the will, the emotions, your feelings, right? And then that third part of us is our physical body. Our body is that physical part of us, but it's also what we call the carnal nature, the sinful nature. You're good folks, you're a good guy, you're a good girl, but I don't care what your mama told you, you're not always a good boy, you're not always a good girl. We all have a sinful nature to us. We're all born with an ugly heart, and only Jesus can change that heart, right? So there's that carnal, fleshly, sinful nature part of us, right? So there's the spirit, the soul, and the body. And as humans, we're made up of these three parts, okay? These three must consistently be in proper alignment, just like your vehicle, just like our back, right? Because if it's not, then we're going to have some issues, we're going to have some problems. The spirit's got to be in the lead, guys. It's got to be number one, it's got to be at the top, and it's following the Holy Spirit. That's important. Then comes the soul, again, your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings, again, following the Spirit of God. And then your body, your flesh, your sinful nature, again, following and submitting to the Holy Spirit. It works like that. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the proper alignment. God's word clearly teaches us that we're made to live and stay in that order. When we do, we more easily walk in the Spirit of God, and receive the blessings that Jesus died to give us. And we call this biblical order, again, alignment. That's what we're talking about tonight. So, digging a little bit deeper here, let's look at three different definitions of alignment, okay? What is alignment? The first one, this is to align. This is a word align, right? To arrange things so that they form a line or are in proper position, right? Something's out of position, and so to align it is you got to put them right in the proper position to change something. How many of you are open to letting the Lord change something in you, right? We want him to align it properly so that it agrees with or matches something else to bring into line, to bring into alignment. Now, does this mean that we need to straighten out or God's going to get us? No, that's not what we're talking about tonight. No, it's about being in the right alignment because there's such great blessings that God has for us. And it's not perfection, guys. We're not perfect. We're going to mess up. But when we're in proper alignment, we have a loving Heavenly Father who's not ready there to smack us when we get out of alignment, but there to help us and bring the body of Christ, bring loving people into our lives, the right people in our lives that help us get back and be aligned, okay? The second definition is alignment itself, right? The proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts as of a mechanical or electrical device in relation to each other, parallel to something, right? And then finally, spiritual alignment, right? Spiritual alignment. That's the process. Everybody say process. The process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Jesus Christ. Learning to walk and live like Jesus did, right? And so what we're going to do here real quick, forgive me for my poor handwriting, but we're going to write a couple things here on the board. Again, the proper alignment is what? We said that the spirit, right, the soul, and body, right? This is the proper alignment right here, right? And so that's when it's proper. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, but sometimes the soul can get in the lead. The soul can be at the top, right? And then you have, let's say, your spirit and body, or vice versa. But the soul is leading. And when that happens, what did we say was the soul? What did it represent? It represented our will. It represented our emotions and our feelings, right? And that might not be so bad, but every once in a while when the soul's in the lead, then our feelings are in the lead. Our emotions are in the lead. Anybody ever get high and low on your emotions? Anybody ever do anything stupid or say something stupid out of your emotions, out of your feelings? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But if the soul is leading, then what's dangerous about that is like on some days, maybe that's all right. But on other days, he or she said, I'm worthless. He or she said, I'm no good. Man, I've had a rough day, and I feel like a failure. And when the soul's leading and emotions are leading, then all of a sudden, that's what happens. New pen. You don't like my writing there? You can't see very good? But there's just such danger when the soul is leading because then our emotions and our feelings that lie to us begin to be leading and in control. And then over here, what happens when the body, is that better? Body is in control, spirit, and soul. This is real dangerous. More than the soul, it's just, man, our flesh runs the show, right? And when we have a bad day and when things aren't going the way we think they should go, we just kind of do whatever we want to do. We give in to temptation. Well, I know I'm married. But we're, you know, she's not meeting my needs, he's not meeting my needs, and I have needs, and my body wants what my body wants, so I'm going to do this because she gives me attention over here, or he gives me attention over there, right? And if body's in control, it takes us down a road further than we ever wanted to go and has consequences we never could have imagined. And before we know it, we've gone down a road, and everything's broken and busted, and it's out of proper alignment. So the proper alignment is spirit, soul, body, not letting the soul, not letting the body lead. When it comes to the soul, I love Pastor Jeremy's quote that he uses from time to time. Out of control emotions never produce God-honoring results in our life. When our feelings and our emotions are in control. It's so true, right? The spirit needs to be leading. When it's the body, right? When our soul or body's in control, then we're out of alignment. We're living out of order. And Pastor Jeremy just said today in his message, if I'm living a life out of order, my life is actually broken when it's out of order. Love that. That really stuck out to me today. And so there's some of us tonight that maybe things are broken. And why? Because we just hadn't realized that we've been out of alignment, right? So let's jump into this a little bit further. Why is alignment so important? Number one, alignment or discipline. It's real quiet in here. Nobody likes the word discipline, right? How many of you have teenagers? Woo! They love the word discipline, right? Can I have a dad, brag on my daughter moment? My daughter Natalie, she's 15. She's a freshman in high school. We moved here 6 years ago this month. I can't believe it. Been living in Lufkin 6 years. Can you believe that, Lisa? We were hanging out. Then I scared her off or something. I don't know. But she was here when I first came to the church, and we love it. My kids have lived here longer than anywhere else. They've lived their whole life. It's pretty crazy, but we love being here. And when we moved here, we moved from California, and I remember Natalie at the time said, Dad, I want to swim. I'm like, okay, you want to swim. And so found out they had a swim team, and so she jumped on the swim team, the local ambush team here in town. And she began to swim, and she's pretty good at it. She kept doing it and kept doing it. And then all of a sudden, a few years ago, when she was 12 or 13 years of age, she kind of hit a wall with it. And I remember it was the end of school, and she was like, Dad, I just don't know. I don't want to go to practice. I don't want to go to any more of these practices, because she had jumped up from like the early stages to developmental and intermediate stage, and she had to practice every day. Uh-oh, we had to go to practice every day. And Dad, I got stuff to do. I got a social life. I don't want to. I'm in sixth grade. I got stuff to do. You know, I don't want to go to practice every day. And I was like, well, baby, you want to do this. You got to do it. You're good at it. I'm not going to let you just quit. So we talked and talked and talked. And that summer, she decided to take the summer off, because with swimming, it just goes all year round. So she took the whole summer off. And I said, here's the deal. I'll make a deal with you. You can take the summer off, but when September hits, you got to jump back in, and you got to practice through December and give it another shot. At December, if you don't like it anymore, you can quit. She's like, all right, okay, sounds good. So she took the summer off, and then she jumped back in September, and everything changed. She just took off. She jumped up from the intermediate to the next level with the team, started to kind of swim in with the older kids, and now she was cool and all that kind of stuff, you know, and she just took off. And now she's doing such a great job. Last year, a year ago, all of a sudden her coach talked her into swimming long distance, and all of a sudden it clicked. Like, she's a long-distance swimmer. She swam the 500, and she just, like, did incredible times. Last weekend, she became the district champ here in Lufkin, and she got first place at districts in the 500. It's pretty cool. And she's going to swim at regionals in Dallas next week. She's seated number 2. And she told me she's going to kick that girl's butt. She doesn't know where she's from, but she's going to beat her, and she's going to go on to state. So it's pretty cool, and she's going to swim in some other events. And, but guys, she didn't just get there. People don't know that Dad has to get up at 5 almost every morning and wake her up. You ever woken up a 15-year-old girl at 5 a.m.? 3 or 4 times a week? It's tough, man. And I got to get her up. I got to get her up. And she goes to practice. Many days she goes to practice twice a day, from 6 to 8 in the morning, and then from 4 to 6 in the evening. When she practices twice a day, guys, no lie, she swims 10 to 12,000 yards in one day. She swims the equivalent of 5 to 7 miles in one day. It's crazy. And she has incredible endurance in the pool. It's just nuts. She didn't just get there. It took what? It took discipline, right? And now she loves it, right? She just loves it. She can't get enough of it, right? And she didn't just wake up one day and that happened. It took discipline to get to the place where she's at. And so it's the same in our life. God, we can live a disciplined life. Alignment will motivate us to live that disciplined life. What was once a have to becomes a want to. What used to be a have to, Natalie, let's go to practice, now is a want to. I want to do this. I want to get better, right? It's the same with us. What once was a have to becomes a want to. Because when we are in proper biblical alignment, there is a growing desire in us to follow Jesus, to be like him, to model Christ-like character, convictions, and conduct. It develops a loving discipline in your life and therefore produces a healthy life because you want to, not because you have to. Self-discipline does not set us free, it says in your notes. Only Jesus can do that, right? However, to be effective Christ followers, we must learn to do our part and live a disciplined life. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a choice, right? It's the choice between denying ourselves, which is self-discipline, or living for our own selfish desires, and that must be made daily. Guys, it's a daily choice to say yes to Jesus and know that, God, when I'm aligned properly with you, man, life is so much more incredible when you're leading the way, God. That continual choice helps keep us in the right spiritual alignment with the Lord. It says in your notes, God gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. He gives us that ability, right? We can't do it in and of ourselves and on our own. He gives us that ability. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control, right? God gives us that ability. Number two, about alignment. Alignment will provide a vital source of communication. When we are aligned with God, we can hear him more clearly. When we're putting him first and he's at the top of the list, right? The Spirit's at the top and we're in communion with God, we're going to hear and understand and recognize his voice more clearly. Guys, communication is so important in your relationship with the Lord. Look at the example of communication in wartime through the centuries, right? Communication is so vital and so important. Whether it be them shooting arrows centuries ago across a field to communicate to one side of the army that it's time to advance or retreat or whatever, they had meaning to it. That was communication. Sometimes it was a carrier pigeon, right? You know, that carried the communication that needed to be. A runner, a guy on a horse to years later to, you know, codes, right? Special codes. In World War II, right, they had a lot of young men that were from the Navajo Reservation that joined the army, and they would talk to each other in that native language. Why? So the enemy could not understand what they were saying. It was about communication. They were always trying to break the communication down of the enemy, of the Germans, right? And all the way till today, right, communication is so important. Why? Because the enemy, if they can break communication, it breeds what? Chaos. It breeds confusion, and you can defeat the enemy. Our enemy knows the same thing. He's dumb, Satan, but he's very crafty. And he's going to try to break down, number one, your communication with the Lord. So communication is so vital. And when you're in the right alignment with the Lord, and you're talking with him every day, and you're spending time with Jesus, and you're praying, and you're recognizing his voice through the word of God and through other ways, that communication is so important. John 10:27, the sheep that are my own hear my voice, and they listen to me. I know them and they follow me. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep and we recognize our shepherd's voice and he recognizes our voice, right? Because we communicate with him and everything's in right alignment. Followers of Jesus recognize and obey his voice and follow his direction. They learn to recognize his voice because they spend time communicating with and listening to him. And we do this through prayer. We do this through spending time in God's word. We also learn to discern his guidance by practicing what he tells us through prayer and through reading the word of God. All right? Number three, alignment will provide a strong line of defense. A strong line of defense. And we need it. We need it from the attacks of the enemy. Alignment with God is a strategic fighting position. Right? It's huge. Now, I could go walk into downtown Houston and pick a fight with somebody. I know I look like a big guy, but I'm a little guy, right? I'm going to feel a whole lot more comfortable if Justin Lindsay's behind me, right? And Jeremy Charbo's behind me with packing some heat as the Lufkin PD, right? I'm going to feel a whole lot more comfortable in that fighting position than if I was by myself, okay? And so we've got to understand that alignment with God is a strategic fighting position. But you're not doing the fighting. That's the amazing part. God is fighting on your behalf. God is fighting for you. Some of you guys are trying to fight some battles in your own strength right now. Quit it. You have a loving Heavenly Father that loves you. And if you will fully surrender him to him, you can't control everything. You can't. 2020 showed us that, guys. We can't control everything. But we can surrender. We can be fully surrendered. And you need to surrender to the Lord and let him fight these battles on your behalf. Just like Moses in Exodus chapter 14, when the Egyptians were coming after them, they weren't as strong as they didn't have the ability to fight back. But God, he fought for them. The Lord will fight for you while you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. God fought for them. He fights for us because Moses was in proper alignment, and he allowed the Lord to fight those battles for him. Number four, alignment with God will bring freedom from a habitual lifestyle of sin. There may be some of us here tonight, guys, that are stuck in a cycle, an habitual cycle of sin, whatever that may be, an addiction, whatever. You've tried to fight it for years, whatever it may be. And when you're in proper alignment, you can defeat that cycle. You can defeat that. What I feed grows, and what I starve dies. I'm not a gardener. I'm just not. But if I was, I would imagine, just learning from other people, plants that receive water and sunlight and nutrients, they're going to what? They're going to live. They're going to thrive. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. But, man, plants that are neglected, which happen around the Courtney house, they die. It doesn't turn out too good, right? What we feed grows. What we starve dies. The question is, guys, what are you feeding and what are you starving? And if you will get proper alignment with God, he's going to help you fight those battles against that habitual cycle. He's going to bring the right people into your life. Can I tell you that you sit at a table with other people, and there's a table host that doesn't have to be here tonight, but they're here because, again, they believe in the process, and they believe in you, and they believe in the work that God wants to do in your life. And if you will give all that he asks, if you'll give him all that he asks and take all that he promises you freedom. He promises you liberty that you've never been able to do on your own, and you're never going to be able to do it on your own. Some of us need to cut some stuff out of our lives, right? Put an end to the things that are feeding your pain, feeding your fear, feeding your addiction, feeding your struggles. It's time to cut it out. And you probably can't do it on your own. But if you'll link arms with some of the people in this room that love you and get in proper alignment with the Lord, you're going to be able to do that. You're going to be able to beat it. When I consistently align with the Word of God, I give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide me. Let's go to number five. I'm moving a little fast because I'm gonna get a sad face back there from Miss Amy if I don't get moving here, time wise. Number five, alignment with God brings unparalleled peace. Unparalleled peace. Does anybody need some peace right now in your life? I'll be honest with you. As I prepared this week and today for this session, I've actually taught some of this before. But this particular point just has stuck out to me so much because I believe in a world of chaos right now, some of us just need some real peace. And alignment with God brings that unparalleled peace. Regardless of what you're walking through in life, when you are aligned with God, he will provide peace for every circumstance that you're walking through. Not just certain ones, not just the this one and that one. No, every circumstance. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, the peace which reassures the heart, that peace, which transcends all understanding, stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at the peace of God like that. It stands guard over your heart. It stands guard over your life. I love the wording of that, right? I've never seen it that way until reading it in that version. Stands guard. That's what I want. I want the peace of God to stand guard over me in 2021. It's just upside down crazy and bananas, right? I want it to stand guard over me. God's peace is the opposite of anxiety. And there may be some of you tonight that are just worried and full of anxiety, full of fear for whatever reason. But God's peace is the opposite of that. It comes when we call on God from hearts that are fully devoted to him and his word. Remember what John chapter 15, verse 7 said. I love that passage of scripture. It's giving us this picture of a vine and its branches and this fruit that sometimes has to be cut back and pruned so it grows back even healthier. God's the vine. We're the branches, right? And in verse 7, it says, if you remain in me, some of them say, some forms of the Bible say abide, right? But if you remain in me, you abide in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. You see, by committing our cares to God, we can determine not to worry about them because we know they are his concern, not ours, right? I don't know about you, but that gives me a whole lot of peace. This peace is an inner sense of calm and assurance delivered from Jesus by the Holy Spirit within us, and it stands guard over us. It's not based on our emotions and our circumstances, because those lie to us all the time, but on the solid foundation of our relationship with God. Again, because we are in right spiritual alignment. Because the soul, right, like we talked about, the feelings and the emotions that many times lie to us, they're not leading the way. No, the Spirit of God is leading the way. The Spirit of God, and it's providing this incredible peace over our lives. Does it mean everything's going to be perfect? No, I'm not promising you that, and neither does God. But he does promise us peace. Some of you need to grab a hold of that tonight because we live in a day and time when fear, if we allow it to, can grip and rule your life. And some of you it is. When we commit our troubles and our concerns to God in prayer, his peace will stand guard at the door of our hearts, at the door of our minds, right? And he will be preventing the cares, the worries, the heartaches of your life from wrecking our lives and undermining our hope in God. Come on, Encounter. Enough is enough. It's time to stop allowing the enemy to wreck our lives with fear and let the peace of God rule and reign in our hearts and our minds forever. Amen. That's what we have in God. That's what we have in Jesus. You know, just to share with you guys, to be transparent tonight, my life, I really battled this, honestly, for a while. There was a part of my life that was completely out of alignment. Now, I've been 20 years in full-time ministry. I got called in the ministry when I was a 13-year-old kid and went to Bible college. But even in those years and early on in ministry, my life was not in the right alignment. And what I began to realize a few years back is that with this alignment, I had to begin to dig a little bit deep and figure out why. What was going on? I mean, I had things out of alignment for sure, but I began to realize that my life was gripped in fear. And I had to think for a minute, like, why? Why are some of my actions like this? Why am I falling into these things? Why am I in this habitual sin pattern? And why am I in this cycle that I so badly want to get out? And I realized that my life was gripped in fear, and it was kind of like an onion, right? You ever peeled back an onion? There's layers and layers of an onion. And I knew that this idea of fear that was controlling me, I had to just begin to peel it back. Not by myself, but with the help of other people too. And what I realized as I began to peel the onion back is that it goes back this idea that for years I struggled with the fear of not being loved. And where that comes from is I was adopted. A lot of you know that story. I was born in Fresno, California. But as soon as I was released from the hospital, I was in the arms of my parents in Texas and moved to Texas just as quickly as I could. I tell everybody I wasn't born in Texas, but I got here as fast as I could. Is that all right? So that makes me a good Texan, true Texan. And lived most of my life in Texas. Loved my family, great family. But my adopted mom just struggled throughout her whole life. And as I got older, I didn't really know it when I was little. But as I got into middle school and high school, I began to really see my mom had gone through, she was sexually abused as a child from her grandfather. That started kind of this horrible life that she was in. And as she got older, she got married, realized she couldn't have kids. Well, that just added fuel to her struggles. Like, I'm not good enough. I can't have kids. I was adopted. My older sister was adopted. And even though she adopted us, it still couldn't fix the pain that she was feeling. On top of that, later, when I was a young kid, she ended up finally going to see a Christian therapist to kind of talk through all this stuff, only to have that gentleman rape my mother in his office. And obviously that just spun this whole thing even worse into just a horrible, just life choices and different things. By the time I got into high school, the roles were reversed. I was the parent. She was the child. My older sister was gone. My dad loves the Lord, great guy. He just didn't really know how to handle the situation. And so I found myself a lot of times as a teenage boy having to take the lead in my own home. which isn't fair for a 15, 16, 17-year-old boy. There was a lot of pressure that wasn't right, a lot of manipulation by my mom at the time. And as I was in high school, she just began to try to take her life many times. She was addicted to painkillers. It was just a mess. And it got so bad that I remember probably the worst moment was I stayed home for a year before I went to Bible college, and I worked at an airport there in Beaumont, and I was just filthy. I was getting ready to take a shower, and I hear my mom yell from the back bedroom, and it was kind of a panic in her voice. So I ran back there to check on her. She was laying on the bathroom floor, and her leg was bleeding horribly, and there was like just from her ankle to her thigh. I was like, what happened? And she said, that vase fell off the counter, and I went to stop it with my leg, and it cut me down my leg. And, you know, in the panic, I picked her up. I put a towel over her leg. I got a shirt on, and I took her straight to the emergency room and got her checked in. They took her straight back. And I remember sitting down in the emergency room and having my mom's blood on me, on my clothes, and thinking, there's no way that candle, that vase, or whatever it was, there's no way that did that to her. My dad ended up coming and checking on her. Came back in the waiting room, and he said, son, you know that didn't just fall off the counter. I said, I know. And so it was bad. It was bad. And I ended up going off to college, which was a struggle in itself, because I always thought if I go to Bible college in Missouri from Texas, if she takes her life, it's going to be my fault. You know, it's because I wasn't there, because I always had to step in as a teenage guy. But by the grace of God, I got to Bible college. In fact, he used my mom, who I met when I was 18, my birth mom in California, who's an amazing woman. She came back into my life, and I appreciate my Texas parents allowing that to happen. And she was a prayer warrior my whole life. And she was the one who spoke life into me and said, you know what, you need to go to college. You're called by God. You need to go do your thing. God's going to take care of your mom. And I ended up going off to college, but I had to deal with that. But I bring all that up, and I will say my mom's doing really good now. She's doing so much better. She's still got her struggles, but she's so much healthier today, thank the Lord. But it began to put the seed in my life that my mom must not love me. I'm not really loved. And because of that, I would hide. I would struggle with hidden sin for a long time in my life, and I would try to fight that hidden sin all alone when I really knew that I would never defeat that hidden sin without the Lord's help. And being vulnerable and transparent with others, right? I would not let the most important people in my life in because I feared that they wouldn't love me, even my wife, Ellie, for a while when we first got married. Well, that fear led me to this other fear. It led me to a fear of not being enough. I thought, well, if they don't love me, then I just must not be enough, no matter what I do, right? They must not love me because I'm not good enough. And because I feel like I'm not good enough, I struggled with insecurities for years. And that fear bred insecurity in me for the longest time. I would get defensive. I would miss out on so many things. And I would get so tied up in my accomplishments and success that I would wonder if anybody was ever going to love me for who I was over what I did for them. And let me tell you, as a minister, that can be really ugly if you're not careful because you're doing stuff for people all the time. You're counseling them. You're ministering to them. And I had to get some things straight. And everything was really out of alignment. Finally, that fear led me to a fear of failure. As I peeled that onion back even further, it was just a fear of failure. And because of that, I worried a lot. I let fear, worry, doubt just run my life to the point that sometimes I didn't trust the Lord when I needed to. I didn't trust loved ones, the people that had never hurt me. I couldn't trust them and people. I didn't take the risks that I needed to take, and I played it safe. But once I got things back in alignment and I began to allow the Lord to help me peel back that onion and allowed counseling and people in my life that I needed at the time, I realized I had to stop living in fear and I had to accept the truth. And here's the truth, guys, for all of us tonight. 1 John 4:18, perfect love cast out all fear. And I had to realize that I'm loved. And guess what? You're loved tonight. I always had been, right, by my Heavenly Father. I just had allowed those tough years with my mom and other things and my family to convince me that I was not loved or that I was not good enough, and I just feared failure. But the truth is, because I am loved, I can love, and I can love like Jesus can. I can love the love of Jesus, that perfect, unfailing, unwavering love of Jesus is more powerful than fear. And God began and is still doing, trust me, a work in my heart. I'm still having to battle some of those things, just like everybody is. But when we get in right alignment with God and allow him to do that work of peeling back the onion, whatever your onion is, everybody's got one, right? Let God begin to do that in your life. Number 6, the final one here before we go to a break, guys. Alignment with God produces a fruitful life. A fruitful life. I want a fruitful life. A fruitful life brings what? A fulfilled life. Perfect life? No, none of us are perfect. But a fruitful life can give us a fulfilled life. I close with this before our break. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. Many of you are probably familiar with this passage. It's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? It says the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us is love, it's joy, peace, patience, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Check this out. Self-control. Some of us may be feeling tonight that we have no self-control over certain things, right? In our life, but the fruit of the Spirit, when we're in right alignment, it brings a fruitful life. Not perfection, but wholeness. God wants you to be whole, and he wants you to produce good fruit in your life. Against such things, there is no law, and there, those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified, and they have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and its appetites. Through right alignment with the Lord, and producing that good fruit in your life, man, you're going to begin to overcome some of those things. God's going to help you peel back that onion and begin to deal with those things and begin to find freedom and experience that true life that God has for you in your life. Amen? Awesome. Well, guys, we're going to give you about a 10-minute break, and then we're going to finish up and jump into the next part. Sound good? All right, so you guys are good to go for about 10 minutes. You know, this does say Bobby. Or Robbie, however you want to interpret it. I'm sorry. It was supposed to be body. I do know my B's from my D's. You know, I do. So just want to point that out real quick. So I was saying all day, Whitney, I should probably have Whitney come up here because it'll be nice and pretty and clear, and I should have done it. But that's all right. But then you wouldn't have had something to poke fun at me about tonight. So, well, guys, let's jump back into your notes, and let's dig back in here because I think God's going to do some of his special what he really wants to do here in just a few moments with you guys. So right here it says, what does a life out of alignment look like? Go ahead and turn to that part in your notes. What is a life? We've talked about what it is. We've talked about what that life looks like. But what does it look like when we're out of alignment? Number one, a life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. You know, we just talked about that a little bit, but it's stuck. Emphasis on that word, just stuck, right? When we're out of alignment, we can get stuck. And sometimes it happens and we don't even know it, man. It comes out of nowhere and it's this drift. You'll hear Pastor Jeremy talk about that. It's all our natural tendency to drift. But if we don't put God first and the Spirit number one there and everything's in the right alignment, it's our natural tendency to want to drift. And unfortunately, our human nature can be to drift towards things that are harmful, things that Satan just drops into our life. And before we know it, if we're not careful, we can be stuck in habitual sin. If you look at the word habitual, it can be described as this: regular, usual, doing constantly, or as a habit. And before we know it, if we're not careful, a life out of alignment can be stuck there. Listen to these synonyms for the word habitual: constant, persistent, continual, continuous, perpetual, nonstop, repeated, frequent. For some of us, that may be our story right now. And our struggles that are stuck in just that same cycle. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. We're going to be reading a lot from there tonight. It says, now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warned you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And guys, if we're not careful, we can get stuck in a life of habitual sin. That's what a life out of alignment looks like. Number two, people who are out of alignment hurt others because they are hurting. That's a powerful one. Have you ever met these individuals, right? One of the most sad realities that I have learned through 20 years of ministry as a pastor and wearing a lot of different hats, I do a lot of pastoral counseling with couples, with individuals, and that is this, is that hurt people hurt people. It's just true of so many people. Sometimes they don't even realize their choices and their anger, their hurt experiences and how it's hurting other people. But it's such a sad reality that hurt people hurt people. People hurt others physically, verbally, emotionally. There's a lot of emotional manipulation that happens sometimes. And so, but those are individuals that if we're not careful, we get out of that proper alignment and we find ourselves in that place. Number three, they suffer bad pain, wasted pain. A life out of alignment can suffer bad pain, wasted pain. How is this? Why does this happen? Well, because a life out of spiritual alignment and a life that embraces the practices of the sinful nature, it comes with consequences, right? It comes with consequences. I mean, we find forgiveness in Jesus, but how many of us know that God forgives us and God frees us, but sometimes there's consequences, right? We live with some of those sometimes. And we just read that in Galatians chapter 5. These consequences, they come with addiction, broken marriages, busted relationships, loneliness, bitterness, hurtful cycles that never end because we keep looking in all the wrong directions to fill an emptiness that can only be found in true alignment with our Heavenly Father. These consequences come with scars. Again, is there forgiveness? Absolutely. But to live out of alignment can bring bad pain, wasted pain that if we would have only looked to the Lord for our rescue and used the help that God gives us and the right people that He brings into our lives, the right voices in our lives, then we could have avoided a lot of bad, wasted pain. We don't want that for you guys, right? Some of us have experienced enough of that. We want the promises that God has for us and the life that God has for us by being in proper alignment. And then number four, they speak and live under curses. A life out of alignment speaks curses. May not even realize it, but just speaks this toxic stuff and lives under these curses. And you guys are going to learn more and more. You're going to hear about generational hand-me-downs and different things like that in the weeks to come, some stuff that's going to be very powerful for you. But that's what a life out of alignment looks like. But let's jump to this. How to live a life in alignment? How do we live a life in alignment? Well, the first thing here is we got to learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to walk in the Spirit of God. You know, next week's teaching is going to help you a lot on how to do this. Can't wait for you guys to hear it and come back. Not next week, but on Valentine's Day. And what a great date for some of you couples. Come to Encounter. Go on a date the night before, the night after. Hey, go on the night before because KidWorks is doing childcare, right? So give it up for KidWorks for doing a night out for moms and dads, for couples, childcare that they're providing. So no excuses. Be here 2 weeks from tonight for that next teaching. Going back to Galatians chapter 5, early we read in verses 19 and 21, we read that long list, right, of practices of walking in the sinful nature, walking in our flesh. Now let's look back at chapter 5 again. I know we already read this, but in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, in 22, it starts with this conjunction, but, right? Right? The Apostle Paul shifts gears here with this conjunction and shows us what a life, a spirit life in alignment looks like. And how it contrasts with the life out of alignment that we read a few verses earlier, right? But again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the kind of life that we want to have. Again, not a perfect life. None of us are perfect. If you're chasing perfection, it's not going to happen. Chase God and chase wholeness, right? God wants you to be whole on every area of your life. Again, not perfect. It goes on to say, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Here we find what a life of alignment really looks like, and it produces that kind of fruit in our life. Not root and stanky fruit, right? Healthy, vibrant, sweet, life-giving fruit in our life. So remember this as we close up, guys, before we do something at our tables. Again, I said this earlier, but what you feed will live. What you starve will die. The question is, what is that? What are you letting live? And what are you starving? What are you feeding? Our relationship with Jesus grows and thrives when we feed it the right spiritual routines and maintenance. Some of you need to start thinking right now, tonight and tomorrow, about not what you need to add to your life, but what you need to subtract from your life so that you can feed that relationship with Jesus. Some of us need to put the phones away and put the social media away. Some of us need to cut off some relationships that are really bad and unhealthy for you. And for some of you, that's going to be really, really, really tough. But God wants to free you, and you need to cut some of that out of your life. It might be subtracting some of the fun things that you like to do that aren't really, really that bad. But for a season of your life, subtract that and add more time with God so that you can hear his voice and he can communicate clearly with you and you can get things in right alignment with your life. That sinful habit, that addiction, that negative thoughts, the thinking will begin to lose its power and effectiveness when you starve them. So be brave enough and look around your table. There are men and women around this table that might have a story similar to yours. Or they might have walked this road before, and they're there to lock arms with you and walk with you. There are people that want to walk with you, that love you, and God is going to place in your life if you'll allow them to. And they'll help you as you starve all those wrong things, all those sinful things, all those addictions, all those negative thoughts, and begin to feed your relationship with the Lord and begin to hear those things. I'm telling you, whatever God asks you to give up, remember what I said earlier? Give all that he asks, right? Some of you, he's asking you to give up some things that you're going to fight him a little bit because you like it, or you like him, or you like her, or you like that group of friends, or you like that entertainment, or you like some of it good, some of it ugly, doesn't matter. But if you'll give it to him, if you'll give it to him and you'll allow him to just give you all the promises that he's talked about and you begin to feed those things in your life, those godly things, and begin to hear his voice, he's going to free you. Spiritual alignment is a process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Jesus Christ. It's a process of learning to walk and live like Jesus. This is the deal. There is the promise over here, right? Everybody loves a promise, right? A promise of something new, promise of this or that. And then there's the payoff way over here. Everybody loves the payoff, right? That's the reward. That's when everything works out all right. It's kind of like we bought a house a little over a year ago, an old house, and the promise was let's take this house and remodel it, and the payoff's going to be, man, this is such a great place. Well, it's not always great, right, if you ever remodeled a house. It's a little bit of a headache, and we're not done, and there's still so much work to do. But there's the promise of that, and then the payoff one day when we get it done. What we forget about and what we overlook is the process in the middle. We forget the process in the middle, and the process is so important because that's where you begin to become who God called you to be. That's where you begin to become the men and the women that God's called you to be, to become the better husband, the better wife, the better mom, the better dad, the better employee, the better boss, whatever it may be, you fill in the blank. It's in the process, in a little bit of that pain and getting through the mud, but you're not alone in that process. God is right there with you, especially when you're putting him number one, and then you've got others that love you and want to walk through that process with you. Be patient, guys. Be patient with this process that God is having you walk through. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord does not delay. How many of you are thankful for that? He does not delay as though he were unable to act and is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient towards you. Thank you, Lord. I need patience because I'm a mess. Anybody else? I'm a mess. And I need patience from my Heavenly Father. Not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Amen? Amen. Well, what we're going to do right now, I want you to turn in your booklet to Appendix B in the back. Appendix B. And what we're going to do here for a few moments, it's 7:30, I think for about 10 minutes or so, is there's some questions in the back of that book. And I want you just to, like, imagine there's nobody else in the room. Imagine nobody else is at the table with you. They're going to turn some worship music on. And there's some really great questions here, four questions that talk about what we've discussed tonight. And I really want you to think about these questions. And if God lays something on your heart, write it down. You're not turning this in at the end of the night, I promise. It's not turned in for a grade. Nobody at your table is going to read it. This is between you and God. But what areas of my life are out of alignment? That's a big question. And hopefully God's beginning to speak to you about that. What effects does this lack of alignment have on my life? Right? What would change if I chose to get in the right proper alignment? And what obstacles could keep me from getting into alignment? Those are four powerful questions. And I'm going to pray over you, and then I want you to take a few moments at your seat to answer some of those questions, and then we're going to do something right after that. Sound good? Dear God, we love you. God, we thank you for what you've done here tonight so far and what you're going to continue to do. I believe that you're beginning the process probably of freedom for some people in this room tonight, and I pray that you would do that. And God, for this next few moments at our table, I know we're in a room full of 150 people, but help us just to focus in on these questions. Nobody's going to see. This is between you and us. And God, help us to begin to write down some answers to these questions, and let these answers, let this practical step of writing these down begin to unlock something in us, begin to unlock that door towards freedom, God, and proper alignment with you, which produces that freedom, God, and that people would begin to take that step of being free. In Jesus' name, amen. So at your seat for just a few moments, go ahead and answer those questions. All right, everybody. Great job. And just want to encourage you guys as you finish this part up, if you didn't get a chance to fill out those questions completely, revisit this week. We want you to go back through this week and look over these notes and just pray and ask God to continue to speak to you about what we talked about tonight. And go over those questions, whether you filled it all out or not, just revisit that throughout the week, because God's going to continue to speak through you throughout this week about what's been taught last week, what's been taught about tonight. God is doing a work in all of us, and just give him that space this week to revisit those questions and talk through back through that. Guys, this has been awesome. I want to pray over you tonight, and what I'm going to ask is that everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes, no looking around whatsoever, because I think it's important to do this as we close tonight. I want to pray over you, but as your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, proper spiritual alignment starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And for some of you tonight, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're here, you came tonight, and you've been coming maybe for a little while, or this is your first experience with Timber Creek Church, and you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you made it years ago, and after hearing last week's teaching and tonight, you're like, man, in order for me to get in the right alignment, spiritual alignment, the proper alignment, I've got to recommit my life to Jesus Christ, because I have walked away from that relationship with him. It has not been what it should be. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we want to pray for you tonight. And if you feel like you're brave enough to raise a hand and say, you know what, that's me. I need to get right in my relationship with the Lord. Would you be brave enough to raise your hand right now and allow us to pray for you? Awesome. Awesome, guys. That is great. God, we pray tonight for everything that we've learned, God, about spiritual alignment, Lord. God, thank you for what you've done in our hearts and our lives and what you're beginning to do. But God, I pray right now for those who raised a hand tonight, whether it be for the first time to say yes to you, God, and they've realized the need to make you number one and put you at the very center of their life. Or God, whether it's a recommitment, God, maybe just over the last few years and whatever it may be, God, they've walked away from that relationship with you. The greatest decision that they could make, God, in this process is to say yes to you, Jesus, by asking you to be Lord and Savior of their life. And Lord, I pray that as they're there in their seats right now, God, we pray over those that raise their hand, God, that you would just touch them, God, in a special way, God, that they would know that, God, as they've raised that hand, God, that you have forgiven them, and God, that they want to make their life right with you, God, because they've realized tonight, God, that things are out of alignment, that things are not where they should be. And I pray, God, that with that decision, with that commitment to you, Jesus, or that recommitment with you, Jesus, that they would begin to put you back in the place that you deserve, and that's number one, God. And God, that we would get in right, proper biblical alignment, God, so that you can continue to do the good work that you've already started these first couple weeks. And God, for the rest of us tonight, God, oh God, I pray that you would just, the work that you're starting here, Lord God, for some of us it may be very difficult. God, it may be that habitual cycle we talked about, God. And God, we're starting to realize that if we don't change some things, if we don't subtract some things, we're going to keep heading down a path that's not healthy. And I pray that you would give these men and women the courage, God, to begin to subtract those things and begin to put you first, God, and put you number one, and that you would heal them, God. I pray healing over some of them tonight, God. I pray, God, that you would touch them and that they would begin to trust you, God, with those things they've not been able to trust you with. And God, that you would begin to teach them how to forgive, and that you would begin to teach them how to unbuckle from those things. God, I pray for those that are bound tonight, God, would begin, that those chains would begin to be loosened, God, and you would just keep doing a work that you're already beginning to do in their lives, and that they would begin to know and experience that true freedom and liberty, God, as they put you in the right place, God, and get their life back in that proper spiritual alignment. God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. And God, most importantly, thank you for those who raised a hand tonight, God, to make you first, to make you number one in their life, or make that recommitment to you, God. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. All right, guys. Hey, for anybody that raised a hand tonight, I just want you to know, the Bible says that when one comes to the Lord, it says that the heavens celebrate. So the heavens are partying tonight because there were some people that recommitted their life to Jesus, and there was some in here that made the commitment for the first time to say, you know what, I choose you as my Lord and Savior, and I'm telling you, they're throwing a party in heaven for you right now. Amen? Amen. All right, guys, couple things, and we're going to wrap up. We're going to let y'all out. The starting this week, about midweek, you'll be able to find the recordings. You can find them on the Timber Creek app or timbercreek.com. Do what? My wife's going to email you the link, or you could download Podbean. Podbean, we also upload them there, and you'll be able to get all the teachings moving forward, guys. Appreciate y'all coming tonight. If y'all would, we have to break this thing down and set it up because we have more ministries coming in. If you would, we just want to ask one thing real quick. When you get up, if you would, take your chair and just stack it at your table. If everybody will grab one chair and stack it around your table, it'll help us tonight so much get this place cleaned up, okay? We love you guys. We thank y'all for coming. We'll see y'all February 14th, Valentine's night, 6 o'clock.